Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful to be able to come together today to praise your name, to hear your word, and to fellowship and come together and we hope glorify your name in everything that we do. Be prepared for the coming week. And Lord, I so appreciate the time of song and praise to you. And it truly blesses my heart that even certain songs will just prepare the way for the word. And I just pray that we would all take it to heart. Even if we can't sing those songs honestly to you, that we would be able to sing those as a prayer, that they would be honest for us. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us and keep us in the faith. Give us ears to hear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I know there's a lot of scripture up there. The main ones are the last three, if you want to turn to those especially, but I'll be reading the others. And the others are kind of short, so the last three, Proverbs and Corinthians, 2 Corinthians and John, are the main scriptures.
God's not deaf, but I am.
I don't know if I can eat this microphone anymore and read and turn, so I'll try. So, last week, as Paul concluded his message, I realized I missed a point when he was up to five, and I had only written four down. I only had 4 points in my notes. I asked him afterwards, what did I miss? And he looked at my notes, and he said, you missed the first point. He didn't say it like that. I said it like that to myself, okay? Looking back, I thought, that's such an obvious and simple point. I don't really need to write that down, do I? But by the end of the message, this was his conclusion points, by the way. You know, 5 minutes before the end, I had neglected to write that first point, that first conclusion point down. And by the end of the message, 5 minutes later, I couldn't remember what it was, right? That first point, by the way, was to repent. And I think that we take for granted things that are so basic and foundational, and over time we may forget. But Jesus is ready to teach us day by day. And he relates earthly stories to teach heavenly truths in his parables throughout the Bible, and I believe he teaches us even now in our everyday lives if we have our attention on him. And so I'm going to relate something that he taught me this just recently over the last few weeks. So I was looking over some of my garden beds, and I was amazed at the abundant growth and all the colors of green and red and yellow and purple and orange. Like, all those colors are in that garden bed. The peppers and the tomatoes and the eggplants, and There's some weed flowers out there that I really don't like, but they're beautiful. All of those colors, amazing colors, and jungle-like growth. I mean, if you look out in, I don't know, so much in town, if you can find a pasture or a vista that you can see how green it's getting out in the landscape now because of the monsoon rains, right? So those amazing colors and jungle-like growth were very distracting to me. And as I looked a little bit closer, I found some serious problems. First of all, I saw aphids and ants taking over some of the most abundant plants. Flies had covered certain plants. This is really gross. Aphids and ants. Those ants were farming the aphids. Do you know about this? The ants will actually go in to where there's so many aphids, and they will be farming those aphids like a farmer. It's a sticky mess, and the ants really like that. Gross, but true. And those flies, I am so annoyed by flies. This is a serious problem. You're going to find out about the flies later. Other problems, drip waterers that were not set right. And so I had some stunted or wilted plants over here in this corner away from the luscious growth of the jungle, right? Some plants were so heavy they were toppling over. And I had leftover seedlings that I either needed to plant them pronto or throw them away. They were not going to survive another couple days of my neglect. And so as I looked at all of this lush jungle, but I really looked and observed, I saw all of these problems. But I was so enamored and distracted by the beautiful colors and the lush jungle that I hadn't seen the problems for weeks. I had been thinking to myself, well, this is so easy. But I neglected to take care of basics, like ongoing staking and pruning and checking water to make sure it was right. And things were getting out of control. Not just the plant growth, but the problems that all of that growth was hiding. So just like I missed the first point last week, thinking is too obvious and easy, I'll skip writing it down. That's what I observed in my garden too. And when I'm talking about my garden, I'm going to be honest. I'm not just going to talk. I'm not just talking about plants. I'm talking about what's in my heart. So don't skip over that point as we're talking today, as I'm explaining and going through some of these things today that, we can neglect some of the basic things until, and we think we know, and we think everything is beautiful and wonderful, and it's not underneath. It can be hiding serious issues that you can't get under control if you let it go, right? Now, I had to spray some soapy water and prune and spray some more. I uncovered more problems. Like, as I was taking care of it, I uncovered more problems, like tiny and huge grasshoppers, poisonous spiders, and squash bugs. I don't even have squash bugs anywhere near this. What are the squash bugs doing here? And so I pruned and pruned ruthlessly because the half-eaten leaves are not helping the plant, and it's giving a hiding place for more and more problems. The flies and spiders are the worst to me. The flies are constantly annoying. The spiders, I'm afraid of them, especially the black widows. Okay. Now, I'm so afraid of black widows that I looked it up one time, and I found out that if you get bit by a black widow, it's only 30, I can't remember if it's 30 or 60% fatal. But there's hope, okay? And I don't think my dogs are any worse off either if they get bit by a black widow. That's really what I was afraid of most, because I can watch my step, I think, but my dogs are just going to get into it and they're going to die. But, you know, 30 to 60% chance there that you may or may not die. And I didn't re-look that up for you today, so you look it up for yourself if you're interested. But that's why I'm afraid of black widows. And there's a lot of them around. So as I was going through all of this, I was thinking, oh, what does the Bible say about some of these things. I looked up flies first because those were the most annoying. And in Ecclesiastes 10, let me find it myself. Ecclesiastes 10. It says, dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. And that last line, in another version it says, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. A little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. And, I mean, he's comparing this writer of Ecclesiastes, which I believe had great experience in folly, but he was given a gift of wisdom by God. He's comparing dead flies. And if you look in another, if you look in your footnotes at your Bible, you're going to see dead flies can also be said flies of death. That's even more alarming. Not just annoying, that's alarming. Flies of death. Right? So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. Down in verse 10, whenever I search out a certain subject in Scripture, I'm not just going to read one verse, right? I'm going to read through and see what else is there. There's more there. Way more there. Even way more that I'm going to relate to you today. Dig into it yourself. God's teaching us, but we have to dig out and find those great treasures. How else is He going to speak to us if we don't turn to Him when really daily, right? How long has it been since you were in the Word and God spoke to you through His Word and you said, wow, that is just for me right now, today? When He does that, don't you consider it a great treasure? And do you dig into it a little bit better to see what else is here? Okay, so dead flies are not a great treasure. So I want to read on. In verse 10, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength, but wisdom brings success. And in the King James Version, the last line, it says, but wisdom is profitable to direct. Wisdom is profitable to direct. It talks about a dull axe, unsharpened, you have to use more strength. And I can see that in what I had to do in my garden, right? I had been neglecting things. I hadn't been using my scissors or my shears. It took a lot more effort to go in there. Not just effort, courage against spiders, right? Took some courage to just go in there and make sure I'm not reaching into a spider web. So, if you neglect something, it's going to be harder later on. I'm not just talking about a garden. I'm talking about our lives, our walk with the Lord. Because I want to be ready. What about you? You want to be ready? We were singing. It's right here. Where is it? Like a bride waiting for her groom. I want to be ready when He comes. I want to be watching and waiting for Him. Ready for Him. Whether He's going to come back or I'm going to meet Him in the air, right? I want to be ready. I don't want to neglect the great treasure that he gives me day by day. Right? Okay, so that's flies, the flies of death. Now that should warn you. This should be a warning to us that something is wrong, that we are off the path. It's like the warnings that as I drive on some long drives occasionally in some very remote places and maybe not so remote places along the highway, every day on my in my everyday life, there are those warning bumps on the side of the road that tell me, oops, I'm off the track. Pay attention, Carol. Pay attention. Those flies, I don't like those flies, but they reveal something. So while I'm annoyed by those flies, it's a warning. Death. Look into it. Where is it going off track? I'm amazed we are not surrounded by flies here in this world because we're living in a condemned world, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, Jesus' name means he will save his people from their sins. He's not just a good teacher, not just a good man. He will save his people from their sins. He did that for you and for me. That is one of the greatest treasures right there. Look into that. If you don't have that committed to memory, it's John 3:16-18. I would encourage you to look at that, commit it to memory, and understand what his name means. You can turn to the first part of Matthew, and I believe it's the first chapter of Matthew, and it will tell you the definition of his name. He will save his people from their sins. Not a good teacher, not a good man. He will save his people from their sins. That's something that we need to know deep in our heart so that all the world around us, we can share that with them. It's not just something to keep to ourselves. We don't keep that hidden. We don't, you know, put a basket over that light. We need to shine that light and let people know, because the world is condemned already. We've been in the world before, right? What was it like? We didn't even know we were condemned already. Until somebody shared that with us, right? We didn't know. Now we know. If you didn't know, now you know. Take it to heart, please. So we should be heeding those warnings, those fly warnings, those edge of the road warnings. And the Lord teaches us daily through our everyday life. Remember that. In the series of messages, entrusted messages, and do not be deceived message from last week should be a wake-up call to us to be diligent. And the greatest thing is to keep enduring in the faith. We can be diligent in many ways, but lose sight of whether we are in the faith. And diligence in our own strength is a losing strategy. And I'm going to turn to Jeremiah 17. I deliberately did not find the scriptures beforehand because I want to give you time to find it with me. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. I'm going to read verse 9 and 10, I think. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And actually, I'm going to read a little bit more. I'm going to go back to verse 5. This is a portion of scripture that has saved me in times past. Thus says the Lord, verse 5, cursed is the man who trusts in man and who makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. So we have cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, and now blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And there's way more in that chapter if you'd like to look into it. But that portion of scripture is another portion. If you can't memorize it, at least know where it is for when the time comes, right? Jeremiah 17:5. It came in very... I don't know what the word is for it, but it's seriously something that has saved me in times past. So I just want to pass that on to you, and hopefully it will help you in the future too. But like I said, diligence in our own strength is a losing strategy. We can go in and be as diligent as ever, pruning away in our garden, spraying away, making sure the breeze can blow through everything, and then lose sight of the fact that, oh, well, this garden in my heart is so overgrown, and I haven't spent time with the Lord in, you know, a week or two, and if it weren't for the pastor, I wouldn't even open my Bible on Sunday, right? So we can really be diligent by worldly standards, and spiritually, we don't seem to match it up. I'm looking at all of you out here, and I would probably say every single one of you is diligent in your work. Whether you work in the home or outside the home, I would say, just knowing most of you, that's my opinion of you. I think you're probably very diligent. You might be hiding some things. I'm not very diligent in my housework, and I'm working on that. Things need to be swept up. I've got two dogs and they shed every day. You know? They go out in the yard and they, especially in the mud, and like to bring it right back in the door. There's a lot of housework. I don't even have kids and there's a lot of housework. I can't imagine how much you have to clean up if you have like 1, 2, 3 kids. Maybe you have more kids than that. Some of you have 4. I don't know. I admire you if you have it all together. But I know some of us were hiding some dust bunnies under the beds and mud tracks through the house. What about your heart? Is it like that in your heart? Because we're not just talking about the house. We're talking about the rooms in our heart, the garden in our heart, our walk with the Lord, our relationship with Him. What makes a house a home? It's not walls and a ceiling and floors, clean floors. That's not it. It's the relationship that you have with one another, isn't it? That builds a home, that makes it someplace you want to be. What's your relationship in your heart with the Lord? So, I'm going to turn now to Proverbs chapter 3. And I'll apologize for not having nice little points in my notes today. I'm way out of practice in teaching or preaching anything. It's been years. Years. And I never did have points in my messages even then, I don't think. So, I know you're supposed to have like 3 or 4 points and sum it all up. I'm not very good at this. So, Proverbs chapter 3. This is another scripture. You probably know this one by heart. Proverbs, or at least part of it. Proverbs chapter 3. Do you remember where we were in Ecclesiastes? Ecclesiastes 10:10. Wisdom is profitable to direct. When I saw that in one of the many versions, that it just reminded me of this scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. It goes on. I'm going to read on. Do not be wise in your own eyes, for the fear the Lord and depart from evil. Do not be wise in your own eyes. This whole chapter is about wisdom. It actually starts off talking about, do not forget my law. Let your heart keep my commands. And it talks, this is the chapter where people look and they see wisdom as a description. Wisdom is described in this chapter. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. It's really hard for me to memorize that whole thing, but I have a few of those verses memorized. And I know where it is in my Bible at all times. That chapter, again, by the same writer, I believe, as Ecclesiastes, he's talking about wisdom here. The wisdom that he got as a gift from God surely wasn't his own. But he could see she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, far richer and more precious than rubies. So, in all of this, I was trying to figure out what the lessons I'm supposed to be learning from this garden bed, this so beautiful, it's deceiving garden bed. And it reinforces the points from our previous messages. Being entrusted with something is no joke. We can't neglect little things, or they grow out of control and become a mess that takes effort, strength, courage, just to do basics like pruning or pest control. First, you have to notice that they're a mess. So, examining ourselves is a good place to start, right? Testing to see if we are in the faith, being honest with the Lord and coming in repentance to Him. He is eager to hear from us anytime, day or night. I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. This is the New King James Version. It says, "Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" And I looked this up. Anytime I'm not really understanding what, even in the New King James, I look something up in a different version to see if it's more clear to me. This is the Amplified Classic Edition Bible. "Examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to your faith and showing proper fruits of it. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you are, in parentheses, counterfeits, disproved on trial, and rejected?" So that makes a lot of sense to me when I look it up in that other version. It's just, I think we have technology that allows us to look up almost any version that we want. I would steer you away from a few of them if you'd like to know. We can talk later. But the majority of them, if you line them up with King James Version or New King James Version, you can at least gain some more understanding. But search those other translations out. You need to know what their translation philosophy is behind them, so Especially if you don't want to do that, we can talk about a few of those to avoid later. But there's a big test at the end of all of this. Not the sermon. There's no test after the sermon, okay? But I'm talking about there's a big test at the end of our life, which is really, if we're in Jesus, it's the beginning of our life. Is Jesus Christ in you? And do you live like that? Your everyday life? You don't neglect the basics? If you're neglecting some basics, which I hate to use the word woke, but I woke up to it over the last few weeks. I'm neglecting some basics. Me, I am. And I'm repenting. I'm going to the Lord, I'm repenting of that. There are some things that need to be pruned completely out of my life. Completely. I've known this for years, certain things. And here's just one example. I know I watch too much TV. I've been warned time and time again. These are warnings from God. The first warning was when I read The Cross and the Switchblade, and David Wilkerson said he's going to give up TV in that book because it's a pit of vipers you're inviting into your home. Right? So he gave up his TV. That's like at the beginning of that book. When he committed to that little thing, it seems like a big thing when you have so much of it in your life, it's out of control. When he pruned that out of his life, look where God took him. Right? And I know I watch too much TV when I can see that some of these commercials, and one in particular that I'm thinking of, they have an entertainer pitching water who draws from the most vile cistern in his entertainment that he spews out. I don't know if you've seen that commercial, but I've seen it and it's a warning to me. The world thinks that this guy's appropriate to be pitching water. That is a broken cistern. Putrid water. I'm not talking about the bottle. I'm talking about what he puts in, you know, he throws out there in the world to let us drink up. I'm not a fan. But I know who he is. That's one warning that I've seen. It tells me, turn it off. Turn it off. Prune it out of your life. That's going to be some hard work because it's out of control right now. It's out of control in my heart. I'm repenting to you and to the Lord right here, openly. Pray for me. That's a hard one to get it out of your life. So, in John 15, so we're examining ourselves, remember? In John 15, John 15. I am the vine, I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This passage, I know it's talking about big things, but look how he prunes. He prunes ruthlessly. Did you notice that branches without fruit, he takes them away? He takes them away. And the branches with fruit, he prunes so they make more fruit. Nobody's escaping pruning. Some of them are taken away. Verse 3, it says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now I had to use like soap and water to spray things down to clean them underneath the leaves, all over it, to get that sticky aphid stuff and its ant farmers out, right? We don't want to lose track that the word is like water and it's cleansing to us. It transforms us. He speaks to us through it. If you don't spend time in the word, if I don't spend time in the word, how does he speak to me? And how do I match up anything out in the world with what is in his word if I'm not even familiar with what's in here? I need to know him. Didn't we just sing? I want to know you. I want to know you more. I want to know him more. In verse 4 and 5, this is the test. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. When we attest and evaluate ourselves back in Corinthians, that verse, we need to find out if there's any fruit. What's the fruit that we're producing? Is it vile fruit that needs to go? I don't want him to toss me out with the burned up vine, the burned up branches here that we're going to find in a second. I don't want to be in that pile, the burn pile. I know we're in a no burn state, so I can't burn my vines, but there's natural fires that clear it out too. There's a supernatural fire that's coming to burn it all out as well. Look at those events, those major events that touch our lives or that we see in the news as destruction, fire. That's not just an earthly thing. There's a supernatural fire. If it doesn't burn out those things that we need to get out of our life, then we're going to be caught up in that condemnation of the world. We neglect our salvation, if we neglect our repentance, we neglect our Savior, we neglect our relationship with Him, were we ever really His? I'm not here to question or make you question your salvation, but our faith needs to be enduring to the end. It's not a one-time deal. It's an ongoing relationship. And those don't last unless we take care of them. Without me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. That's alarming. We're being warned every day, right? Either by flies, by fire, by spiders, by whatever we face day by day. God's trying to talk to us and be one-on-one with us. He's not trying to speak through me. He wants to speak directly to you. One-on-one. So as we examine ourselves, hopefully we gain some wisdom. Maybe that's by experience. You know, ask God for wisdom. He's given it before. We have entire books in the Bible that are given to us to one of the most foolish persons that has ever lived. But he was given wisdom. We can learn from those. It's amazing who God speaks through, right? Ask Him for wisdom. If you don't have wisdom, ask Him. One of our previous messages says in Psalms 90:12, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I would say maybe we need to number our hours through the day so we're not wasting time too. I don't know, numbering our days. So wisdom, as we have seen, is profitable to direct. It warns us not to trust our own eyes in Proverbs 3, not even trust our own hearts in Jeremiah. With wisdom, we fear the Lord and we depart from evil. We don't despise correction. I despise those flies of death, but I am grateful they expose hidden problems, what we call sin. Wisdom is precious beyond rubies. It's a tree of life to those who take hold of her. There's an action there. You got to take hold of her. And when we say her, we mean Jesus. Wisdom is personified, and traditionally it's called her in the Hebrew language. But we're smart enough to know. Talking about Jesus there, tree of life. Take hold of her. Okay. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would take your word to heart. There's got to be something in what you have given me that would speak to someone's heart. If not, let them search you out. I pray that we would not neglect our relationship with you, not today, not tomorrow or this coming week, not ever. That our faith would be enduring to the end. But we have to be diligent to come to you in repentance, in reading your word, in hearing your voice. Speak to us and teach us, Lord, each and every day. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.